looking to get closer to Font. Lefondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Royals Preview Podcast, supported by Phantom Bruco. Well, I tell you what, you would definitely need a few pints to get through the last week or so with Reading Football Club. It has been absolute carnage. And kind of in a weird way, I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. It feels mildly positive, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, because we haven't got a game to dissect, having lost. So it's been quite positive.
Well, that's dark, point. James. That really is straight away. Yeah. No, I think it is obviously, we're going to talk about the protest that happened on Saturday, the pitch invasion. We did talk about it in the podcast that we'd done in the abandonment one, but obviously James has a different angle on it being a journalist. And I'm not saying that you created it or anything, James, because you definitely did not create this pitch invasion. But it feels like maybe a little bit of a tipping point when it came out, the story that you broke last Thursday, was it? Or was it Friday?
Last Friday. Yeah, I seem to have hit the touch papers. And some people at the club who, which you'd imagine, kind of just set the ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of a day, wasn't it? I mean, as soon as you got into the ground, you knew there was a different atmosphere. But as a journalist, how do you feel like watching events kind of like evolve? Because you've got two minds there going on for you, James, because obviously you're a massive Reading fan, but you're also a journalist. So just covering these kind of events, how does that work for you?
Yeah, pretty hectic and busy. The minute I set foot through the door, I had some of the staff talking about it and thinking things are going to be sort of kicking off. And yeah, it took less than a minute for things to start going sort of the way they did. I guess it's pride at the beginning. We all knew it was coming and it was great to see so many fans standing up for what they believed in and standing up for the future of our clubs. But then obviously you've got people running around like blue ass flies behind me trying to work out what to do. And, you know, I had a few sort of, neutral fan staff behind me who were a bit peeved that they were sort of losing money and losing work. But no, other than that, no, it was good to see.
No, I totally agree. As I've covered, mentioned many times, I think it was 100% the right thing to do. I mean, it's been a chaotic week. After that, we've obviously seen massive amount of media coverage, which we've never seen before on our situation. Talk Sports, Sky Sports, BBC News, national media, international media, multiple times, and all of them from fans, from Sell Before We Die, from just Fat Reading fans, all fantastic coverage. And I think they've all spoken so well, too.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing to see the coverage that Reading have got. I think people, even if people didn't agree with it at the time, I think they can now see sort of the impact it's made. And yeah, it's hopefully long may it continue in the media and people push for change.
Yeah, I think the highlight was that like almost 120 seconds or whatever was of Dai Yong Pan clearly in the back of a car, probably watching something else on his phone, but of him just talking utter waffle yet again, James. I mean, but he is alive. We can confirm he was alive at that moment. Who knows? Who knows where he is now? Some cryogenic cell or something. But he is a very, very, he's a massive part of the issue at the club, isn't he? And the sooner he's gone, just like all the other parasites that hang around with Dai Yong, the better, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. The club won't progress with someone like him at the club, working almost against his colleagues at the club. I guess just behind Dai, he is probably the next one down. I've been pushing to try and get him to do an interview, so it's a work in progress. I can't obviously slate him too much yet until he's agreed. But no, there's no doubt that he's obviously a massive contributing factor to the issues.
Yes, well, let's move on today. You obviously had the press conference there, and Mark Bowen appeared as well and had some interesting things to say. We have money for a hotel in Wigan. Most clubs, that's normal, but that's actually good news for the players, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's great news. So they didn't fancy driving up at, 5 o'clock tomorrow morning up to Lancashire. I think some people were saying that it's not fully for every single away game, and that obviously for some longer ones there were provisions. Again, I can't see them driving up to Carlisle on the morning of the game, so I guess they must have had some backup options. But yeah, it'd be nice for the players to have a sort of nice amble up tomorrow and go ready on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I think if they do have to go all the way up to Carlisle on the morning, you would say that's probably booked in the excuse for the defeat, isn't it, really? It's kind of, I would understand that.
Even fans attending the game.
Sorry?
Go on, I was just going to say, even fans attending, I don't think many of them will be driving up on the day of the game.
Cool. Now, what I was going to say was that also Tom Holmes hopefully will be registered by the EFL then. There, let's hope so. They pull the finger out. Yeah, they have noticed stuff is going on at the club. Also, that there's three or four NDAs around people wanting to buy the club. We've all been here before, haven't we? Let's be honest. You know, it's not breaking news, but, you know, it's what Mark Bone said today.
Yeah, yeah. You know, as you said, you've got to take it all with a pinch of salt. Now that Nigel Howe is in place, hopefully sort of things and communication can improve and things start to move and continue to move in the right direction. But as you say, sort of we've had three or four for quite a while now, so it kind of just seems like it's the go-to kind of phrase. But, you know, fingers crossed, maybe these are the three or four that could save Reading Football Club.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Let's hope one of them is the saviour of the mighty Reading FC. So we are off to Wigan on Saturday. Okay, so you're normally quite downbeat on these away days, which, you know, for about 12 months was incredibly accurate. And I really had very little comeback for you on that. I just, you know, as you know, if you've listened to this, I just repeatedly went for a 2-1 away win. It virtually worked. But life being what it was, I actually wasn't on the podcast before that happened. But what are you going to say about Saturday? You going for a win, James? Or do you feel that, you know, there might be a sting in the tail for the week yet again?
No, I'm going for a draw. I'll take a draw. A draw away from home is a good result, as long as you win your home games. They're no mugs, Wigan. I know they're sort of above us on the table with having points deductions, but they're sort of within that gap that you can sort of claw back into the mix if you get a decent run of results. I think it's got to be a time to savour the squad that we've got, because who knows what squad we'll have in February. So we've really got to be picking up points while we have the strength of the team that we currently have.
Do you think Nelson Abbey will be in the starting lineup? Just on gut feel, not on inside.
Yeah, yeah, I think I do. We asked Sellers that today, and he said for as long as he's here, he'll play. He seems to be a very level-headed kid and a nice bloke. So, you know, hopefully he's sort of put things to one side for that 90 minutes or, you know, the 90 minutes, however many 90 minutes he can get through until, you know, whatever happens, happens. But yeah, no, I think he'll play. I don't quite want to imagine a back four, which includes Harley Dean and Tyler Bindon, to be honest, as a pair. So ideally, Abbey is fit. Not fit, but obviously ready.
Yeah, that would be absolutely ideal. And I think Mark Byrne, by the state of him today, I think he's been pushed into a pretty dark place with all these ongoings, which is totally understandable. So now it's time for me to make a prediction. I'm just going to go for 2-1 away. Victory. Why not? I don't believe it's going to happen. But no, I don't know. It's not possible. It's not possible. It could happen. It could happen.
But you don't believe your own prediction. That can't be happening.
No, I'm going to stick with it. I mean, Paul, come keep some faith with yourself. I'm going to say that we can do it, and hopefully you enjoyed this. I'm going to now pass it over to Matt, who will be speaking to a Wigan fan. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast, of course, brought to you by Phantom Brew Co. We are now switching over to the view from the opposition. It's a familiar foe. We were only facing them 4 weeks ago. 4 short weeks. What could possibly happen in 4 weeks? Well, as kind of we know at Reading FC quite a lot. To discuss everything to do with Wigan and what has happened in those 4 weeks, we've chucked Barry out, actually, because he's been on quite a few times now. Sorry, Barry, I know you'll be listening. We love you. But we've got on a different voice. We've got Adam this time from Progress with Unity. How are you doing, Adam?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well, thanks, Matt. And, it seems a bit weird when I'm 43, but it sounds like you're bringing in the youth team if you're replacing Barry.
Yeah. Out with the old, in with the new. We'll go with that.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been referred to as the youth team.
We'll roll with it. Well, jumping back or winding back the clock, 4 weeks ago, we faced you at the SCL. It was a 2-0 home win for Reading FC. Fair to say, though, I think it probably wasn't Wigan's best day, and it was probably not one where you guys turned up and probably gave a good account for yourselves.
No, not at all. I think we had a spell very early on in the game, but I think after that it was an inevitability that Reading were going to score and then coast to a win. I think probably if you'd upped it a bit more, you might have got a bigger win potentially, but it was almost like towards the end of the game that neither side really was that interested in, but we didn't seem that interested in trying to pull it back, and you didn't really seem that interested in trying to push it on, really. I think we accepted our fate and you thought, well, you know, we've got a busy Christmas period coming and let's save some energy. I mean, it wasn't one, if you're a neutral, I don't think you'd have been rushing back to watch those two. Let's say we've got any neutrals, I don't think they'll be at the DW watching this game again on Saturday. It wasn't a classic, but certainly one very good goal from our big friend Aziz, and obviously Sam Smith got the other one. So yeah, I mean, I've got to say, on the day, Reading far superior to us. It shows our inconsistencies, I guess, really.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'm not going to try and, or I'm not going to believe you when you say that Reading Wigan or Wigan Reading isn't a bigger game than, you know, like a Barcelona v Real Madrid, because it is two of the biggest teams in League One. Come on, let's not talk it down here, Adam. Let's jump on to the Christmas period then for Wigan, because I guess that loss, it set off a bit of an up and down period for you over Christmas. You know, you then had a Boxing Day loss to Derby, lost 1-0. Then beat Carlisle 2-0, probably a game that, you know, you were thinking that you'd want to be picking up points in that game. Good draw away at Barnsley. Then you had the FA Cup, game against Man United, which obviously you guys lost, played well, but lost. Northampton draw. But then again, you know, the EFL Cup last night, actually, as we record it, you know, against Doncaster, which you ended up losing on penalties. Give us a bit of a insight into, I guess, the inconsistencies that you touched upon.
Yeah, Boxing Day was an odd one because Paul Warne said that it was Derby's most complete performance of the season. They beat us 1-0, but we didn't really lay a glove on them at all. In fact, I don't know whether we played Lincoln before or after you, can't remember off the top of my head, but there were two consecutive home games where we didn't have a shot on target. And I don't know how in the Derby game they gave us an XG of something like 0.3, not 0.3. I mean, I would have probably said minus XG. It was that bad. They just controlled. They're a good side, Derby, though, so you don't really gauge yourself against them. Then, like you said, we won the game that really mattered against Carlisle. I think we turned up that day. We are superior in class. I mean, our best half of the season was against Carlisle at their place. But then, again, inconsistencies in a game. You know, we didn't win the game, even though we were so good in the first half. But we coasted to victory that game between Christmas and New Year. And then New Year's Day, Barnsley, we were absolutely fantastic in that game, but just didn't have the clinical edge. We've had some games where we've kind of controlled in terms of possession and territory, but not really created chances. But Barnsley, yeah, the goal came completely against a runner player for Barnsley. And then, you know, in the second half, we absolutely battered them. And, you know, in the end, I think they were making substitutes to get the points and we were making substitutes to get the win. A cracking goal as well from Johnny Smith, if people haven't seen it. Really good goal. Then, obviously, you mentioned the Man United game. And, you know, the build-up was great. And it's good to see a full stadium again. But, yeah, I mean, I think we did play well. But there was no, but you couldn't say we were unlucky, really. You know, they were miles better than us, which you'd expect, wouldn't you?
You did have a couple of chances very early on in that game. I was watching it in the pub, and I think there was one in the third minute, and I think it was about then the 25th or so, you saw them not go in.
Yeah, Asgard had a good chance at the far post from a good move down the right. It's a great cross from Gordo. You know, on another day, I don't think he did much wrong, really. It with his weaker foot, left foot, he was on target. But, I mean, some of the pundits were saying, well, why didn't... I think it was Ian Wright saying, well, why didn't you just lift it over the keeper? But I think...
Should have been a class.
Yeah, big class difference, isn't there, between a League One player and Ian Wright, who was, I think, Arsenal's second top scorer of all time. And I think the more realistic comments came from Keane and Martinez saying he hit the target. You know, it was a good move. But then as soon as Man United scored, they obviously controlled the game. But it was a good experience, you know, very young team out there again. So really good experience for them. And then Northampton on Saturday, just gone. I went to the Six Fields, and again, you know, a really good, strong start to the game. It gave a really soft penalty away, went 1-0 down. Couldn't believe it, really, because we were so dominant. And this is an informed Northampton side as well, with full of confidence. And we just completely outplayed them. But again, come away with a point. It's a good point on paper because Northampton are playing well, but it's a game again, like the Barnsley game, that we should have won. And then inconsistencies within a game. I think Exhibit A was last night in the Bristol Street Motors. First 20 minutes, it looked like it was a Premier League team versus a pub team. Like Wigan was so dominant, it looked like he could score with every attack. We scored on 11 minutes. We carried on that sort of level for about another 9 minutes. And after 20 minutes, suddenly turned into back heels, little flicks. I don't know what we were trying to show in the game, but I was disappointed with it, because what that allowed, and Doncaster could sit in for a bit while we were messing about. And then I guess in the second half, they said, let's go at them. You know, they're essentially, I don't know if you swear on this podcast, so I'll just say taking the pee. and then he probably got them up for it in the second half, and Doncaster didn't control it, but they were the better side in the second half. Scored the deserved equaliser, and then goes to penalties, where it's a lottery. And we're out of that competition, which probably were close to being the favourites to win it, I think, at that stage. So, yeah, it was disappointing last night because of the attitude of the players. But yeah, they're still a young team, and these are the type of things. I hope that in private, Sean Maloney has given them a bit of a rollicking. He doesn't seem to be the person who'll ever hang his players out to dry, but I am hoping that he's given them a bit of a kick up the backside, because I just thought the complacency and arrogance when we're winning 1-0 shouldn't be there. You know, fair enough, if you do winning 4-5-0, you can get the Olays going and the flicks and everything, but not 1-0 against a professional football team. I think we just got it completely wrong. So we've had some big defeats this year in League One, but that was the most disappointed performance for me, because we were so dominant early on. So that, I think all that highlights the inconsistencies, really. That the first point you made, spot on. We're so inconsistent, but I guess because we're a very young side.
Like you say, the side is very young, and there's also been a number of key injuries for Wigan this year, probably none more so than Matt Smith in midfield for you guys, who came back, I think, in the second half of that game against Northampton. I think a young midfielder, again, I think he's 23 for you guys, but been out since, you know, the back end of September for you guys, you know, an injury of 3-4 months. How big is that with him coming back for this weekend, do you think? Because I'd probably anticipate he probably starts for you this weekend.
Yeah, I would think so now. He's had, I think he played about 60 minutes last night. He played 30 minutes on Saturday against Northampton. He was involved actually in both of the goals that we've scored in the last two games. I mean, it's interesting because he is still a young lad, really, but he's got a lot more experience, you know, under his belt. Obviously, he's going to be sort of well prepared technically because he's come through Arsenal's academy. And he has that bit of a class edge, I guess, on players that have come through our academy. I mean, our academy is excellent. You know, we looked just before COVID, we were in the quarterfinals of the Youth Cup. We'd beaten Tottenham along the way. And some of the players who were playing that were in that team. Asgard was in it, Deco was in it.
I think the team this year is very good testament, I think, to the Wigan Academy. I think when you look at the amount of players, like you say, that are in it and have come through and are thriving this year under Sean Maloney, I think, you know, that's testament to it and kind of all credit.
Yeah, but so, as you know, with young players, if you don't really have that experience in there as well, that it's okay when things are going well, but when maybe you've got difficult moments,
it's how they handle it.
Yeah, it's the pressure really that's on them, and you shouldn't have to. I mean, our main two centre midfielders probably this season have been Adeko and Smith, who this is Scott Smith. It's bizarre because, little fact for you, maybe a quiz question, is the fact that Wigan hadn't ever had a player called Smith start a game in the Football League, which is amazing given you think about the name Smith.
That's the stalwart of English names, yeah.
This season we've had three Smiths who started the game, but Scott Smith and the Deco are two players that hadn't started a league game before this season. Then we've got Marcio Gordo, who hadn't started a game at all when he came on loan from Fulham. Even Charlie Hughes this time last season, he was just about coming into the team. You know, so he's only got a year's experience and obviously he's very talented. And then even the likes of Asgard and Lang, you know, they're still relatively young, you know, in their early development stages. And Morrison, who we got from Bayern Munich, it sounds brilliant, but essentially it's Bayern Munich B team. And so again, he's not played first team football. So yeah, we've got Chambers in on loan as well from Liverpool, who
played at Watford. Good signing, that for you.
Yeah, good signing, yeah. I mean, he got man of the match on Saturday from the Progress with Unity listeners. I think sometimes there's a bit of a recency bias, isn't there? And you're always looking at your lone player and if they come from Liverpool. But he had a good game. I just thought everybody at Northampton were 7 out of 10. It's hard to pick a man of the match. But again, and you know, he's played some Liverpool matches. You know, I think he's a really good signing for us. And we have to look at these, you know, essentially free loans. It's free loans and free agents. So... Yeah.
Well, Reading have seen that all about that and kind of the way that...
Yeah, you know yourself, it's very difficult. But yeah, it's academy and free chances, free loans, and it's difficult, isn't it, when you're in that situation?
Difficult, but has left you guys... it's a bit of a false position because I say you guys are in 18th year, 5 points above, you know, Reading FC in the relegation zone at the moment. But without your points deduction at the start, you're up in 10th. You know... only a few points off the playoffs. How have you guys seen this season go, and what's kind of the aspirations for you guys this season?
Well, I'm pretty happy really with the way it's gone. I mean, I think we might have been a bit of a victim of our own and success and raising expectations. The fact that we managed to wipe 8 points off in four games. So I think that raises expectations. I still think there's a few fans that think we should be doing better than what we are, but given the injuries that we've had, given the fact that we've had to rely on players that really should have just been squad players who you would ease in, I think the season has been tremendous for me so far. I think I can't see us going down. I think there's too much quality in our, barring a major injury crisis, I don't think we're going to be there in the last five games worrying about our League One status. I think we'll pick up enough points at home, finish in the middle of the table, and then you then raise your aspirations for next season, really. I think this is very much a transitional year, both on and off the pitch. So a realist has to say that a mid-table finish, given an 8-point deduction, is an excellent season.
I think certainly given the troubles in the summer, how close you were kind of, to the brink, really, in the summer, and the ownership crises that have kind of gone on at Wigan. I think all the best to you guys. I think a consolidation season and pushing on next season, I think, will be really, really well received. So, looking at Saturday then, Adam, I know what you gave us a score prediction on the Progress with Unity podcast. I'm going to try and push you for a score prediction on the Elm Park Rules preview podcast. What are you going to go with? Last time we were at the DW, we did in fact take obviously the win last season, 1-0, Tom Ince free kick. What are you going to go with this time?
Yeah, well, I think I said off air, didn't I, that I gave the prediction based on the fact that we tend to win when we need to win at home. But then I've looked at Reading's form. So, let's say, when you can put a bet on and you can put two bets on the scoreline, not to encourage gambling, by the way, gamble responsibly, but I went for 2-0 on the Progress with Unity, but I might go for 1-1. So if I put both of those on, I think a point, I think for us, it's not bad because you're not gaining on us. I think Reading probably would be looking for the win, I think. And recently, you've not had too bad a record at Wigan. You obviously had the 3-1 win when, bizarrely, I'm sure you had Pelle and Puskas in the same team.
Georgie Puskas with, I think it was the 4-minute 58 or so, I think it was, hat-trick. Yeah. Never scored for us again.
Pelle was playing as well, wasn't he?
He was, yes, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, is Maradona or Platini going to turn up as well?
that was the team of many names, but sadly, none of the names really actually did anything good or were remotely good footballers. It was a weird season and a weird set of players, that. But yeah, 1-1 then for you on the prediction on that. I think I'm going to go, I'd be happy with a 1-1. I'd be content. A point away from home is always a good point, especially when you look at how bad Reading have been of late. I might get to a point where I predict an away win at some point. It's not coming yet, though. I'm going to stick with 1-1. We're going to go boring. Sorry, everybody. We've talked it up and but 1-1. There we go.
Yeah, I just wanted to say as well before we leave this conversation that obviously being in that position, as you've alluded to in the summer, I think we understand better than anybody what Reading fans are going through at the moment. And we clearly wish you all the best. We'll be supporting you on Saturday. And I'm on the Supporters Trust myself. And if ever people want to chat, whether it's just about trying to stay mentally positive, because it's, as we well know, it's, we invest everything, don't we? It's not just money, it's time, and the big thing is emotion. And it's a very difficult time, so we do empathize with you, and any support that Wigan can give you, we'd be delighted to do that, because we stand together. It's these owners that are, I can't swear on here, but you could imagine the word that I might say. And it's not a nice word to describe yours, but I think everybody in the game, really, including the regulators, probably would use the same word, wouldn't they, if they weren't on a weren't on an actual podcast or a TV program about your owner. So yeah, we wish you all the best in the near future.
Top man. No, I really appreciate it, Adam. And yeah, if there's one thing I think Wigan and Reading FC fans can bond over, that is that of, you said we don't swear on this show. We do. Shit owners. I don't think there's any other way to put it, to be honest. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Wigan have had their fair share.
My swear word might have been a bit stronger than that one.
Yes, we won't go into that territory. I think we all kind of know what direction we might be going in. Yeah, no, I do agree with you. Adam, thank you so much for joining us, obviously, on this episode. Best of luck, obviously, for the rest of the season. And yeah, touch wood, hopefully Wigan don't have any further ownership problems, obviously, following on from the summer, and you can have a prosperous rest of the season and obviously seasons ahead. We will, of course, be back with a post-match review, looking back at the Wigan game, win, loss or draw. We will, of course, be bringing you all of our reaction and thoughts on the game. If you have enjoyed the podcast, remember to like it, follow us on all of our socials as well. Give us a 5-star review on your podcast of choice. It really does help us in stuff like podcast rankings. They are a bit boring, but they do help us a lot, I know. Thank you everyone, obviously, for listening. I've been Matt Lansley. This has been the Umpire Rules Preview Podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.